If you will, turn to Matthew chapter 13. We're looking through the book of Matthew. Matthew was a Jew. He was writing primarily to the Jews. He was writing about the Jewish things, but a whole lot more than that. Jesus has been preaching. He came with the message, repent. He was speaking primarily to the Jews, to Israel, God's chosen people. And to say the least, Israel said, we don't want you. So by Matthew 13, Jesus is beginning to turn from the Jews and toward the Gentiles. And we're seeing in these verses that we've looked at some parables that he gave. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And he gave those parables because the Jews and others, of course, had heard him speak clearly and had not listened, had rebelled, had resisted, would not hear. So he said, I'll speak in a way where you cannot hear. If you won't listen when I speak clearly, I'll give a story that you can't understand. And that's what a parable is. But on the other hand, those who were saved, those who accepted him and his message, could understand, could discern the meaning of the parable. And hopefully we can do that. Verse 31, we want to kind of take off again. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Now, again, we find Jesus giving a parable that deals with the farmer, but there's a difference here. Now, when the farmer sowed seed before, if you remember, he sowed seed, and some fell on good ground, some fell on stony ground, but the farmer went to sow there, and he's throwing out handfuls of seed, as any farmer would. But here we find this farmer sows one seed. Just one seed. It's a little bit different. In fact, it's more than a little bit different. It's quite different. That tells us that there's something special about this seed. That tells us that there's something special going on as far as this farmer and his goal and his desire and what he wants for a harvest. But from this seed is we're about to find something gigantic grew. He sowed one mustard seed. And Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like this mustard seed that is sown into the field. Now, mustard in that day especially was a valuable crop. They used it for several different things. I won't take time to mention them, but it was a very valuable crop. So for someone to sow mustard seed was certainly not unusual. But this person sows one seed. And he, in this parable, is going to talk about the effect that this kingdom has, that it starts off from something small and grows to something gigantic. He's talking about the effect of the kingdom on this world. Now, the church or even the Jewish kingdom, we're not going to change the entire world, there's no doubt. But we are to have an effect on our part of the world. My part of the world should be a little different because I live in it. I want to ask you, is your part of the world, where God placed you, is it some better? Do you have an effect? Is there something better because you live in this world? Look at verse 32. Which indeed is the least of all seeds. He's talking about the mustard seed. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh the trees, that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now again, he's talking here about the kingdom. And he's talking about something from a small beginning comes to become something gigantic. And I thought about this. Great things come from small things. And I gave you some examples in your notes. All music. Whether you're talking about chopsticks or Bach, come from eight notes, primarily. All literature, whether you're talking about Jack and Jill and the little poem, or you're talking about Shakespeare, comes from 26 letters. All mathematics, no matter what you're talking about, comes from 10 numbers. So from small things, great things can come. But as far as this mustard seed, there's more to it than just something small becomes something big. You can see the touch of God here. You can see that God is moving as far as this mustard seed and as far as His kingdom. Jesus says that this mustard seed, which is the least, which means the smallest of all seed, and there's a lot of debate about that. The people who think they're so smart that they can deny the Bible say that the mustard seed was not the smallest seed of that day. And they're true and they're wrong. They're right and they're wrong. There was a wild orchid seed that was smaller than a mustard seed. But Jesus is not talking about something growing wild. When He used the word here in verse 32, the least of all seeds, that word seeds very specifically is talking about seeds that are sown on purpose. Something placed in a garden, something that's placed in the ground, anticipating a harvest. And as far as those type of seeds, the mustard seed was the smallest seed they knew about. So Jesus is right. And somebody may say, well, what's the big deal? Well, it is a big deal. What if Jesus was wrong? What if He lied? What if He was mistaken? What if He said the mustard seed's the smallest seed, but it wasn't? He thought it was, but he was wrong, or he knew it wasn't, and he lied. Well, that would mean he was mistaken, or he did something wrong. And if he was mistaken, or if he did something wrong, he was not God. But I'm glad to say that Jesus was not mistaken, and he was not confused, and he did not tell a lie. He told the truth. The mustard seed in that day, as far as seeds that were planted, was definitely the smallest seed they knew about and the smallest seed they ever sowed. Jesus, in this parable, talks about something small. Begins little. I mean, it was so small, you couldn't even hardly pick one up at a time. That's how small it was. But He says, when it's grown, it becomes a tree. Now, He's not talking to like these pin oaks out here. Gigantic lumber kind of trees. He's talking about, I guess the best way to put it, is a small tree. But the mustard seed in Jesus' day in Palestine, they could grow up to 25 feet. And I'll tell you what, that's a tree no matter what you say about it, no matter how we think. So He said, from this little small seed that you can't even hardly pick up one at a time will come a tree, a bush, a plant that can grow as high as 25 feet. He says from something very small comes something gigantic. And He's saying this kingdom's going to be that way. It starts off small. And boy, that sure is the truth. His kingdom started in a manger with almost no one there. When He ascended, there was 120 in the upper room. 11 disciples. Very small. But from that small beginning, billions have been saved. Billions have accepted the gospel. So from this small beginning, something great has come. By the time Paul died, which is about 40 years after Jesus gave this parable, the gospel had spread throughout the known world of that time. Imagine from a little manger to where everybody at least has heard at least some part about Jesus and the gospel. What a blessing. From something small comes something big. This seed I thought about. I mean, we're talking about one seed in a field. What hope does it have to survive? I mean, one seed. You know how it is when you plant corn. You always put at least three or four kernels in. You know why? Because two or three is not going to make it. We're talking about one little mustard seed against the world, but it does survive. And not only survive, it flourishes. It grows to something ginormous, as they would say nowadays. And the reason it's protected and the reason it survives is because God does protect it. It's like a little speck against the world. Every reason in the world for it not to survive, for something to happen, to kill it, to knock it off, to where it never grows a bit, but it does more than survive. It thrives. And I want to tell you something. This kingdom and even the church has a lot going against it. The world cares nothing about it. If you'd gone out knocking on doors with us last night, you'd have found out there's a whole lot of people who slammed the door and say, I'm not interested, I don't care. And if you witness daily, you'll find out there's a whole lot of people who say, I don't need your God. But not only does the world not care about it, the devil hates it, the devil's fighting against it. And yet, in spite of all the opposition, it still grows. In spite of all that it's got going against it, it still grows and flourishes. For an example, when Peter preached, 3,000 souls got saved in one service. Man, what an invitation that was. Later on, 5,000 got saved at one time. And now, even though this whole world has not been covered, because we know the whole world, we see it, we know now what they did not know in Jesus' day about geography. Most, or I should say a great deal of this world has heard about the Word and heard about Jesus. Something so small, with so much opposition, with very little hope of survival, humanly speaking, grows anyway. You know why? Because Jesus said, that's my church, that's my people. With Israel, God said, that's my chosen people. The devil and the world would not overcome them. And this mustard seed becomes a tree and branches out. Notice what it says. It says that it grew. When it is grown, it is the greatest of among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in its branches thereof. The idea is it grows out so big and so strong that birds come and lodge in its branches. So you think about this tree that's spreading out. It makes me think about the gospel message and even the kingdom of heaven branching out. It has the idea that God is in charge of the world. Everybody may not see him as Lord, but he is Lord. Everybody in this world may not accept him as Lord, but he's still Lord. This tree covers the earth, if you will. This, from this little small thing comes this gigantic tree that the branches reach out around the world, covers everything, because God is Lord of all things. And it says that birds come and lodge. It's amazing. The birds come and build their nest. The word lodge doesn't mean they just come and sit on the limb a little while and fly off. It literally means to move in or to dwell. They build their nest. Now understand what it's talking about. The mustard plant, which we could call a tree, is a picture of the kingdom, and we could certainly apply it to the church. Boy, I'm not getting anywhere fast tonight. I got a long way to go, and I won't get there, I know. So here's this, I call it a tree, and it represents God's people, the kingdom. And here comes birds and lands in the tree and stay there. It's talking about false professors who say, I'm saved, I'm one of y'all, I'm a believer, but they aren't. Remember what I said, the kingdom represents all those who profess to be saved. Some are genuine and some aren't. Some are real, some are false. Some are saved, some are lost, but profess to be saved. And these birds are a picture of lost people who profess to be saved, who come in and try and act like the bunch. But they're not. A bird is different than a tree. You understand that. The bird is not the tree. The lobster is not a part of the body. And all those birds are doing is plucking seeds. This tree is a mustard tree or a mustard plant. And a part of its growth, there are seeds on the tree. So these birds can live in the tree and never even leave. They can have all they want to eat right there in that tree. In other words, they're devouring, they're eating, they're consuming. And lost people, I'll just make it down to where we live, come in churches and make professions or say, yes, I'm saved. And they enjoy the presence of the Lord as much as they can. They don't understand it, but they enjoy the benefit. I thought about this country. This country used to be a Christian nation. This country, because of our beliefs, the founding fathers' beliefs, this nation has been a great nation. A Christian nation. A believing nation, at least it used to be. And there are so many lost people who have come into our country who are living in this country. Not that they come from somewhere else. They live here, and they've enjoyed the benefit. Here's my point. God has blessed this country because it's a Christian nation. Believe that? I do too. Hope we don't lose that. But here's lost people in this country. They're like those birds. They devour the good things of God, and they don't even know God. God, they're under the umbrella of God's blessings, and they don't even know God. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Jesus said this little mustard seed grows up to a big tree, and birds come in, and they just eat away and devour and live and enjoy the benefit of the tree. In other words, there's people who don't know the Lord that enjoy the benefits of God's blessings on this country or any other country. Again, remember, they're the lost, they're false professors. Jesus said from this small beginning, you know what, I believe that meant a lot to the disciples then. They all their life they thought about a kingdom. I just will just not worry about where I'm going to get and just go on. All their lives they'd heard about a kingdom, and they'd heard about the Messiah coming and setting up the kingdom and ruling the world. That suggests to me something big. So they think something big's about to happen, and here comes Jesus, and they find out he was born in a manger. They found out he grew up in a carpenter shop. And they see people rejecting him and denying him and mistreating him and abusing him. And then later they see him die. They see him crucified. They see people mistreat him. Now he's gone back to heaven. And it's just them. And they're so scared they go and hide. And when Jesus reminded them through the Holy Spirit, remember I said he's going to start small. I believe that helped them. They realized this is the way he said it would be. I want to apply this and I'll go on hopefully maybe. Jesus said my kingdom is going to start small, but it's going to get big. I'm going to use that small thing to do something magnificent. And I believe that's how he does with individuals. He uses small people. He uses Moses that stutters or has some kind of speech impediment. He uses an Ezra that literally turns a nation upside down. He uses a Noah. He uses a little teenage boy named David. He uses a Ruth. He uses an Esther. He uses, if you will, if you understand me, little people. He uses a man like Job that helps millions of people when they struggle. And I see that not only back then, but I see it in this day and days close to us. He uses an Evan Roberts. He uses a D.L. Moody, a Billy Sunday, an R.A. Torrey. He uses a Corrie Ten Boom. He uses people who are small enough to realize they're nothing. And I want to tell you something. When we realize we're nothing and we give our nothing to him, there's no telling what he might do. Here's from something very small. Paul said it like this, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Boy, that does away with pride. Paul said, he's in you, and he'll do what he wants to do if you'll let him. From this little small mustard seed comes something big. Look on, let's try and cover a little bit more. Parable 11, look in verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like an leaven which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Again, now he's talking about the kingdom. He's talking about what's going on right now today. He is talking about the circumstances we're living in right now. Back then, yeah, but now too. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal. You know what leaven is? It's kind of like yeast. And women, just like many women used to do, don't know if you do now or not, when you make a loaf of bread or you make biscuits, you sometimes you'll take a little piece of that that's got the yeast in it. You take a little piece of that dough and set it aside. This is how they used to do it. I don't know if they do it now or not. Probably not when Walmart's got the frozen kind. But they take a little piece of that loaf that they're making now and set it aside. Now, next time they make bread, they take that little piece that they've set aside and they put it in the dough because that little piece has the yeast or the leaven in it. And they mix that little piece into the big lump and the leaven spreads through the whole loaf and it rises. That's what leaven does. That's what yeast does. It makes bread rise. It gives it a favorable flavor. If you've partaken of communion here and you eat a little wafer of unleavened bread, you find out it doesn't taste too good. Well, Jesus is talking here about leaven, and he says there's a woman that put a piece of leaven into a large, 3 measures of meal is about 12 gallons, so that's a whole bunch of bread she's making. She puts this leaven into the bread, and it permeates the whole loaf. There's been a whole lot of discussion about what this means. I'm going to be trying to be brief and trying to be sensitive to what we're talking about because I don't want to skip over this. A lot of people think that that leaven, that little lump of leaven that's put into the big loaf, and she kneads it and it spreads through the whole loaf, and the whole loaf becomes leavened. They think that God's people live godly lives, and that godliness spreads, and we permeate through the world, and the world gets better because people are getting saved. I understand that, but I just don't believe it. I don't agree with it. And I'm giving 2 reasons here. I believe this leaven speaks of an ungodly influence. Leaven in the Bible almost always is spoken in a negative way. There's one place in Leviticus that I've got in your notes, Leviticus 23, verse 17, that God says to put leaven into the sacrifice that they are giving. Only place that I know of in the entire Bible that leaven is spoken of in anything other than negative, anything other than sin. Leaven is a picture of hypocrisy. Leaven is a picture of false doctrine. Leaven is a picture of sin. Remember, Jesus told them, you beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, that false doctrine, be careful. And leaven is a picture of sin or wrong or that's opposed to God. And the Bible surely does not teach that God's people are going to make the world better. In fact, the opposite is true. The world is going to get worse and worse and worse. So the leaven, I'm convinced, here's a woman, puts a little piece of leaven in a big bunch of bread. She kneads it and lets it sit until that little piece of leaven is permeated the whole loaf. It spreads through the whole loaf. And I'm convinced it's talking about any type of ungodliness or hypocrisy or false doctrine in the church, in us as Christians, as individuals. We're seeing that. We're seeing the leaven spread. We're seeing it in the form of false doctrine. So many weird beliefs. Listen to the radio. If it's not an established station that has some standards, man, you'll hear everything. I believe that's the leaven that's spread. That false doctrine that's spread, and people are saying they're eating it up. They're so gullible, they're believing it, but it's an error. I believe this leaven is a picture of easy believism. Spreading like wildfire. All you got to do is get somebody to pray and they're saved. All they got to do is believe on the Savior now and make him Lord later. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. This easy believism, just give them to pray a prayer. Make them pray a prayer. If they pray a prayer, they got to be saved. Well, if there's no conviction, there's no salvation. I believe this leaven is a picture of worldliness that's spreading throughout the church. So you understand, this is God's kingdom, and in this day it's God's church. Then he said this leaven is spreading, and I see it as a form of worldliness. Modern churches have just dropped their standards, dances and dress doesn't matter. How you live doesn't matter. This leaven is spreading. Worldliness is invited. The way they dress, the way they talk. They've got a relaxed view about sin. What used to be sin is acceptable now. It's that leaven that's spreading. I believe this leaven is a form of contemporary worship that we see so much today with the rock and roll and all that stuff and the lights and the glamour and all that. You go to those churches and you don't know if you're at a rock and roll concert or a church. I believe that's a part of what he's saying here about leaven. It's coming, he says. It's spreading, and it is. The old-fashioned convictions are gone. The old-fashioned convictions are laughed at. We live in a day of tolerance and compromise, and we're told to love, but the kind of love they have that they're talking about is ignoring sin. Now, I know they're living together, but you got to love everybody. Well, that's leaven, I believe. That's an example of what Jesus is trying to talk about. He said there's a woman that put a little piece of leaven and it's spreading everywhere throughout the whole. So I'll just say this. Once the leaven's put into the loaf, you don't take it out. Once we surrender, once we compromise, once we give in, once we let it into our lives or our church, you don't get it out. I know churches. Breaks my heart that's allowed things to happen and they've compromised and they allowed the contemporary scene to come in. And I promise you, I know many who have. I don't know one that's gotten it out. Once leaven's introduced to that loaf, it does not get out. It does not. You can't remove it. It costs. The answer is don't ever put it in. Don't ever let it in. Leaven works completely. Leaven is strong. It literally changes. It changes the dough. It changes the composition of the dough. That dough is never the same. Anytime we let false doctrine or contemporary or compromise or tolerance into our lives or our churches, it changes the church. It changes the individual. Leaven works silently. You don't. It doesn't announce itself. It just moves slowly. You don't recognize it until it's too late. Leaven works completely. It takes complete control, and the devil wants to control us. He wants to control our church. So the idea is this. Don't let it in. I'll stop here. Talked about two parables tonight. Really, they're very similar. Something starting small and growing big, but as it grows, false professors come in. And talked about leaven. Once it's introduced, it does damage. It grows. It spreads. And you can't get it out. Let's pray. Father, I ask, Lord, that this would be applied to our lives and to our church. I know it's been very teachy, intentionally so. May we hear what you say. May we take heed to your word. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that there's still some folks that do want your word and your will. May we ever be that way. May we not compromise. May we not give in. May we realize, Lord, that we're like that little mustard seed. Through little things, you can do great things. May we surrender ourselves to you to where you can. In Jesus' name.